could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 29 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'm very happy to have Dr. Maluna Fausch with me, the voice healer. Maluna, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. We've been talking about doing this show for a very long time. Yes.
I am thrilled. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And I would love to share a little bit about who you are with our listeners today. So, Dr. Maluna founded the Voice Healer Studio because she had a goal, and her goal was to help people effectively use their voices. She says, you have 2 seconds, and that surprises me, 2 seconds to make an impression with your voice. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Dr. Maluna helps business professionals develop a healthy, pleasing, confident, effective, make more money voice through her custom coaching. If you are not being taken seriously, have you considered it could be your voice? So I'd like to give you a little background on Dr. Maluna. She is certified in energy healing therapy, intuition, vocal technique and care. She's a holistic health counselor practitioner. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in music business and has a PhD in holistic psychology. Dr. Maluna is a Voice Works Associate and certified Level 3 Somatic Voice Work Singing Teacher. Further studies include acting, care of the professional voice, and the artist brain. Her experience includes more than 20 years in show business as a jazz cabaret singer, actor, vocal coach, vocal producer, lyricist, and entrepreneur. Dr. Maluna has performed at venues including Blues Alley in Washington, D.C., and the Cabaret Series at Whittier College in California. She's a proud associate member of the Recording Academy. Dr. Maluna loves bling, bold red wines, fast cars, and holds a Swiss passport. Dr. Maluna cringes every time she hears the word realtor pronounced realtor. Okay, so I probably pronounced a lot of words wrong in your introduction and what I've said so far. So could you please explain what you mean by that word realtor?
Realtor. That is something I've noticed. Most specifically in California, not so much in other areas, but the word is spelled realtor, R-E-A-L-T-O-R, and every time, I'd say, 99% of the time I meet a real estate professional in Southern California, they say, I'm a realtor.
And
it's not the correct pronunciation of the word.
Isn't that interesting? Okay. So I would love for you first to share a little bit about your educational background. You have a Bachelor of Science in Music and a PhD in Holistic Psychology and all this amazing background. How did that all come about?
You know, Dr. Iris, I could always sing. And so I started piano at about 7, and then I started singing lessons later. It was just something I could always do. I would memorize television commercials and the top 40 back when Casey Kasem did the top 40. I'm sure you remember, yes?
Absolutely.
Some of us have been on the planet long enough to remember that. And I did a lot of other things in my life, but I kept coming back to the singing and the acting and the voice training and all of that because that is my gift. And then I had my own personal medical adventure wake up, a tumor in my head. And I was losing the hearing in my right ear, which is very problematic for a performer. This is when I still lived on the East Coast. And my face was paralyzed. So there I was in acting class with a face that was paralyzed. And what we discovered is a chondroblastoma in my head, and this has been quite a while back now. So in 2002 and 3, I had two surgeries to remove it from my head. And at that point, I wasn't sure if acting, singing were still substantial for me. Were they still possible for me? And I began to study energy therapy, medical intuition, the holistic health counselor practitioner degree, and the holistic psychology degree, doing some other work around that. But I again circled back to the voice and how could I apply all of that to the care of the professional voice and business people, bringing all of that training that you learn as a singer-actor to work with business people.
Wow. So that is amazing how through some trauma that happened to you, how you've come like full circle to your profession.
It feels like that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It feels like all these years have been in training, and we do. Sometimes we come back to the real purpose. Hopefully we do, right?
Absolutely. So yes. You say you're presently a singing teacher. Can you share a little bit more about that?
I do. At my studio, I help singers. I have a lot of young people who want to be professional singers, or they're going off to college, so we're getting them ready for the rigors of college training and the audition process and admission process and all of that. And then I work with business people. And those are people who come to me who are anxious. As you know, many people are terrified to speak in public, and that's holding us back. Mm-hmm. We are not experiencing freedom. We're not speaking from the heart. We go all into the head or into the ego. It costs us clients. It costs us money. We don't look confident. So my practice or my studio is about 50-50 with singers and speakers.
I see. So when... Let's talk about the singers first.
Sure.
So when someone comes to you, you said that they're basically looking for if they're going to go to be a professional. What about if somebody just wants to sing to do solo work or sing in a choir or that just to improve their voice? Is that something you work with as well?
I do. And I've had all of those. I have a woman who is a soloist in a church. And she said, I've never had training, and I am a paid soloist. I need to go to the next level. And it only seems right that I enhance my skills. So, yes, those who want to sing for fun or health or love, money, all of that, I welcome it all. And I accept them where they are, and we develop and find out what the magic is about them and the way they share their voice.
And so... Are there different age ranges that you work with?
I like to start at about 6, no earlier. And, of course, it depends on the child. I'm not one of these teachers that thinks you should start changing the way a child expresses too young because it messes with their self-esteem, I feel, a bit much. But as they're older, and some kids are so advanced and so ready to do it, then it's more of a just focusing their talent and their energy and much less of the what I call vocal correction.
Mm.
And the oldest student, let's see, I'm not sure, maybe the kind of gentleman who was about 78, and he said, was it too late for me? Never, of course not, ever.
Wow.
Because working with the voice improves your health, too. So all that deep breathing and all the things that we do just helps you feel better on every level.
Sure. So you started talking to us initially about how you got into this. I would love for you to share a little bit more about what is it about the voice?
Why the voice? I hear everyone's voice as a musical instrument. But I know a lot of people think, oh, I don't like my voice. I don't like the way it sounds. That's a very common thing. But the truth is that we have music resonance frequency, especially if we've trained our voice or work with a person like myself. It's such a fantastic expression. And I find that piano players or instrumentalists, we can mimic other players, and it's a little more similar, perhaps. But the voice is so unique and so fantastic when we're being true to what's within us, because it's based on our own anatomy, our own background. That's why I've been in love with the voice since I was a little girl.
That is amazing. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Maluna, you mentioned that you have voice, you teach young people, every age range, voice. And then you also mentioned, because in your our topic today is your voice costing you clients? Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you work with professionals and that you help people when they give public speaking. So what exactly does that entail?
For people to be effective, it's necessary to understand some of the anatomy. So, for example, when I begin work with a client, we speak about the physicality of the voice because it is a physical process, and it begins with the breath. So we spend a little time on anatomy, not too much depending, although I am working with a doctor, so we get to spend a lot of time on anatomy. And understanding the breathing, the way a voice is produced, the way to think about it mentally, emotionally, spiritually when it comes out. We work on the scripts if it's a salesperson. We work differently if it's, say, a salesperson that works by phone. They need to be able to use their voice as a voice actor would. It's a little trickier over the phone than in person. And the musicality, what I was speaking of earlier, I can either hold my line and speak in a flat line like that, which is boring as heck, or I can put rhythm and movement, and I can get louder and softer and use some of our language. Now, English is a little more staccato, but when you hear like Italian or French, there's so much rhythm within those natural languages. So I might work also with poetry or Dr. Seuss, believe it or not, things like that, in addition to whatever that business person needs to work on, whether it's their presentation, their PowerPoint, the quality of their voice, the energy behind it. Do they have any energy behind it? There's so much that's wrapped up into the voice.
Wow. Now, why do you work with Dr. Seuss?
Dr. Seuss, because of the rhythm of the words and the way he put them together, it's also a great tongue twister. And so it works out the vocal mechanism very well.
Wow. I would never think about Dr. Seuss. I would think that that would be too rhymey or too, you know, childish in some way, maybe.
Actually, my adults love it. And if it's a person who needs more rhythm and sing-song and more variety in the voice, it is a perfect thing. Even on serious subject matter, believe it or not. Now, of course, the delivery depends on the subject and the corporate culture, but it tends to teach people to have some fun and open up that voice.
Wow. Wow. That is amazing. Dr. Maluna, we are about to take a very brief break, and we will be right back.
Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guest a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-2847. 7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
My name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and we are having a fascinating conversation today. We are here today with Dr. Miluna, who is the voice healer, and she teaches people how to use their voice more effectively, both on a personal level, dealing with if you want to sing better, if you want to perform, whether you want to get paid for it or not, or on a professional level, if you love to get out there and speak and be with people on the professional level. So, Dr. Miluna, I know there are many studies out there that tell us about the sound of our voice. Would you mind sharing a little bit about what other professionals are saying about the voice?
There's a study that I put on my blog just a couple of weeks ago. And it's The Economist. And the topic was, those who sound right, quotation marks, sound right, also make more money. And so I, on my Twitter, I say, make more money with a trained voice. And here's what they found. Now, we know that tall, good-looking male executives make more money. We know this, and there are theories why that is. But I think it's a comfort thing, and there's religious things and God things. All kinds of things are tied into that. But what this communication company found, I'm going to read this from my blog so I get the facts correctly done. They evaluated speeches by 120 executives. Voice quality accounted for 23% of the listeners' evaluation, and the content of the speech was only 11%. Now, they also found out from a university study listening, probably both, to 792 male CEOs giving presentations to investors, and found that those with the deepest voices earned $187,000 a year more than the average.
Does that mean then we should all make our voices deeper?
So there's a lot in there, isn't it? So first of all, how we say it is more important than what we say, the content. Our tone of voice, the way we present, that's what people are looking at, our body language or the quality, much less than what we're saying. Because they can hear in our voice if we're enthusiastic, if we're happy, if we're confident, do we have sarcasm, things that turn people off, like sarcasm. Now, in the Western culture, the U.S. and Canada, we tend to prefer a deeper voice than other cultures. So for men with a deep voice, this is just kind of, they've got it, because they will naturally be heard and interpreted as an authority figure. So we don't want to artificially change the pitch too much. And for women, this is a little trickier, but I do have women who come up and say, hi, I'm a lawyer. Well, no one would ever take a female lawyer with a high pitch like that seriously, in my opinion, especially if they're a litigator or in the courtroom. You cannot have a voice that sounds like a small child. So we work on developing that voice to have more resonance and richness and perhaps take it down just a little bit in pitch, not unhealthily, but in a healthy way to change that voice a bit and make the very most of it.
Now, if somebody would like, is listening and hears this and says, man, I'm not happy with my voice right now, how can they reach you?
They can go to thevoicehealer.com, the T-H-E voicehealer.com. There is a contact form there. My phone, should we give out the phone?
Absolutely.
All right. That is 949-488-0844. Again, 949-488-0844. And my email is drmaluna@thevoicehealer.com.
Now, do you do any sort of workshops or any sort of seminars to introduce people to your work at all?
I don't have anything scheduled at the moment. I do go into corporations, and I'm happy to do introductory sessions so they can understand just why do voices and communications affect our bottom line, and why should we be concerned about this?
Mm-hmm. So you don't do any sort of like workshops out there in the community at all?
No, not at the moment.
Okay, just was wondering. Okay,
now thanks for asking.
Yes. Okay, now you know my show is called Attitude Adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love for you to share two things from your professional opinion that you think would change our listeners' attitudes.
Thank you. The first thing, and this, of course, will be related to the voice and the attitude, I ask our listeners to take responsibility for what kind of communication they're putting out there. So, for example, if we do use sarcasm in the voice, it would better be because of comedy, right, or something like that. I ask our listeners to pause a moment before responding, before communicating, making sure the heart is involved, not just the head and not just the ego. So let's take responsibility. And the second thing is to make more peace with your voice. A lot of people do say, I hate my voice, and of course this can be a problem if you hate it. Try to make peace with it. Do your best to listen to your voice differently. Hear the music within that. Commit to the voice and support it. So what I mean is it's a whole body production. And when we speak or sing, we're using 2/3 to 3/4 of our body. So how about thinking of the attitude, my voice is really my whole body, and I'm going to go out there and find out more magic about my own voice.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question along those lines. The number one thing you just said is take responsibility for putting it out there and the whole thing about sarcasm. So what would happen, let's say, if you didn't mean to, but you went ahead and you were sarcastic in some way, in some professional or some situation? What can you do after you've already spilled the beans? What can you then do?
What can a person do?
Uh-huh.
Well, if it's live, I would say, you know, my inner comedian gets the better of me sometimes. And I hope that was not offensive to anyone.
Okay, so you kind of make like a joke out of it, or just like try to, because you realize that you did it and it was like, ooh, that doesn't sound right.
Exactly. If you're aware that the sound fell into the room, you know, the echo, or people seem to be upset, or energy just fell within the room, then I would make a joke out of it. And as you heard, I still took responsibility for it. So then you realize that doesn't work with this group. Move on. Don't use that particular element again.
Sure. I got that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because that does happen. I know.
It
so,
does.
Yes. Yes. And you don't realize it, that just happened. And you don't know what to do to fix it. So
we're not always aware, are we? Because we're communicating and we have something important to say. And so sometimes things happen. Yes.
Absolutely.
Not our intention.
Sure. So what do you think is the worst thing that people can do to their voice?
Clearing their throat.
Huh. Okay.
The art of clearing the throat, imagine smacking yourself across the face. When we do that, our vocal folds or cords Olds is more anatomically correct, but you'll hear us say vocal cords. They slam together. And it's like smacking your face, slamming those cords. So there's no natural rhythm of them opening and closing with the breath, with the nice relaxed vocal production. And the more we clear, the worse it gets, and the more hoarseness we get. So it's like a vicious cycle, and it is absolutely the worst thing we can do. It just causes more and more vocal fatigue.
So what is the other choice that someone would have?
The choice, always have room temperature water. So I say to my students, first course of action, take a sip of water. Second, pause and swallow. Breathe. And then if you absolutely can't clear it in that way, you can also do a yawn as well, which opens things up in the throat. And mm-hmm. if none of those things work, the very last resort is to clear the throat. But now it's a conscious clearing is what I call it. You're aware of what you're doing it and why. It's not just mindless, anxiety-filled clearing of the throat.
Got it. Okay, so you've been giving us this great information. Would you share one of maybe a favorite story from either one of your students who come to you for their voice, to improve their voice, or maybe one of your or one of the your professional students?
Favorite story. Oh, there are so many. I think one, I had a young student who wanted to be a professional, but she just didn't have the confidence. And this happens a lot, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And we really helped her to find out what kind of music she was best at. So some of the things she wanted to sing just were not all that well suited for her voice quality. And it's not that we can't sing a lot of things, but I find that all voices are suited to one genre, we might say, more than another. And so I worked with her for a couple of years, and we used to make up things because we like to be creative, and we decided that she would have a vocal freedom day. And so when she got to the point that she felt she had found her voice and really become comfortable and she liked it a lot better and she had confidence and she was going to go out there and sing in public, it would be her vocal freedom day. And that is what we had. So I brought in a cupcake for her. Not that you would ever eat a cupcake right before singing, but yeah,
right.
we had that after the lesson. And it's such a fantastic feeling for me to know that I've set someone free to their next phase of life, feeling like they have freedom within their voice and body.
That's amazing.
Mm.
Okay, so what is your opinion of throat coat tea?
Throat coat tea is wonderful.
Okay.
Yes, that's one of them that I use. It's a nice balance of herbs, and yes, it is something I personally use. I like it.
I do too when I sing, so that's what I was asking. Now, your background is also in holistic psychology, and it sounds like a lot of the work you do obviously uses a lot of psychology. So when somebody comes to you, and whether they're coming to you to improve their voice for speaking or for singing in some solo, it is nerve-wracking. I think there's a lot of anxiety that is associated with getting up and performing in front of people. What are your take-home messages to these people for them to help overcome that anxiety?
To overcome that, yes. There are a lot of things that we do in acting to memorize and get over that. I think the first thing is, as you mentioned, the psychology of it, the mental thing of it. And it's the fact that we think people are criticizing, and many of us have been heavily criticized, so it's rightful that we might feel this. But it's understanding and doing your best to separate from thinking that people are criticizing. Choose to frame it instead that people are rooting for me, because we really are. We love fantastic voices. We love actors and singers. They bring magic to our world, and we love to hear them. So it's doing the best to reframe that. It's making sure you rehearse a lot, making sure that the song is in the right key for you. If you're a vocalist, that's key. Memorizing the words. One of the best things is to write the words by hand, whether it be a song you're singing or a speech that you're giving. The energy of writing it by hand puts it into memory. The art of practicing it right before you go to bed so that your subconscious works on that all night.
Mm.
And just making sure that you work with musicians when you're in a position to hire people, that they love and support you and make you sound good.
I love it. I love it. Wow. It has been such a treat to have you on our show today. You can reach Dr. Maluna by going to her website, thevoicehealer.com, or call her at 949-488-0844. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com and my website, www.driris.com. And I love to leave everybody with a quote for the day. This is from Aristotle. He who has overcome his fears will truly be free. Have a helpful day, everybody.
Come on, deliver.